Threat Film Radio. One World International Human Rights Documentary Film Festival in Prague, Czech Republic.
Threat Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 ESOC platform in Prague, Czech Republic, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Kalina Berten. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Director and transmedia expert, you also made Manic. How would you sort of introduce this project to our listeners who may not be familiar with it yet?
So initially, everything started with a feature-length documentary film, so linear, traditional, projected onto a screen, which was called Manic. And Manic really, it kind of has two narratives. It explores two narratives. On one side, there's the attempt to piece together my father's life, who was this very complex character. And on the other, there's my attempt to decipher the mood disorder that's plaguing my siblings' lives. But as the film evolves, bridges are built between those two narratives, and past and present sort of collide to shed light on the legacy of mental illness in our family. So essentially throughout the film, I discovered that my father was a cult leader, a scam artist, and a father of 15 children around the world. And then back at home, my siblings are experiencing phases of mania, psychosis, and I come to realize that all of this actually comes from my father and his own mental health disorder.
This is a true story.
Yes.
Right, so, I mean,
it's a documentary, yeah.
Well, so first of all, I mean, it sounds like it's not an easy story to go through, right? All of these different discoveries.
Yeah, it took 4 years to make the film. It was extremely challenging, but it was a very cathartic process because something creative was finally coming out of the turmoil that our family was going through. But just to be able to own our family's history, to make peace with that, and then to move on.
But so owning your family's history also entails in your project putting it out there into the world for other people to see.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that was quite terrifying in the beginning. But I myself, when I was growing up, I saw some very powerful documentaries that were very personal and exposed, personal realities and experiences. And for me, watching that was extremely powerful because I realized that I wasn't alone in my own experience of my family dealing with mental health. So if my own film and my own process could have that impact on others, it would make everything meaningful.
Yeah. Such as what documentaries did you see that were like that?
Tarnation by Jonathan Coet. He turns the camera on himself and on his mother to try to understand their relationship and how her bipolar disorder has affected sort of his whole life.
Now, when did you start becoming interested in VR?
So it was interesting because when I was working on the documentary film, there was sort of this growing sense of frustration because I was always looking at my siblings from outside and trying to understand their inner worlds. Like, what were they going on? What were they going through from inside? Because with documentary, you're capturing reality, right? And you can be creative with that reality, but you're always kind of, you have to deal with what happens and what's, available to you. So I started wondering, well, what if I could experiment with an immersive medium that would allow me to put the viewer, the user, inside of my sibling's world? So VR became, like, really interesting to be able to do that. So that's how Manic VR sort of came to life.
Now, this is going to be a silly question, but I mean, the transition to working with VR from maybe having an experience with something, let's say, and this is a terrible word, but more traditionally cinematic and the more traditionally documentary form. What was that like? What was the transition like?
I think it was a little bit scary as well, because the frame is so crucial to what cinema is. I mean, when you're framing, that's how you build your story and your relationship with your audience. But in VR, you're exploding that frame. So how do you direct the viewer, But that's kind of the beauty and the poetry of VR, is that the viewer kind of has their freedom to find their own story. But there are, like, tools that you can use as a director still to guide them, And that's what I came to realize. But what's really, really powerful is when you're working, when you're working with film, you're always, the viewer is always kind of like in a third person point of view. But in VR, it's very first person. person with embodiment. So there's all sorts of tools that I discovered that I could use, and I was working with a really, you know, talented creative direction team that had experience in interactive media. Nicolas Roy, Fred Cassian, Sandra Rodriguez. So we worked together as a team to build the interaction.
What was a moment when you realized that things were challenging, and how did you overcome the challenge if you had to pick one?
Well, I mean, first of all, how do you represent the world of bipolar disorder? How do you represent such a complex condition? So what we did is we looked at bipolar disorder itself and how it's structured. And when you look at the structure of bipolar disorder, it has sort of a built-in narrative in itself, and it operates in terms of chapters. So the phases of the illness, you know, there's hypomania, mania, psychosis, depression. We started seeing that as narrative chapters. So we started to build the experience based on those chapters. But then the question is interaction. How do you weave an interaction into the story that feeds the story and that doesn't distract the user? Because what you have going on throughout the experience to really flesh out the content is these voicemails that my siblings left me. So how do you develop interaction that doesn't distract from the audio? And so that was a big challenge as well. So what we did is we looked at what's at the core of bipolar disorder. It's this impression of a gain of control and then the reality of a loss of control as you're progressing through the disorder. So that concept really guided us through, okay, how we use interaction. Initially, there's no interaction. You can just sort of gaze through the world, walk through the world, but then your hand controllers vibrate with haptic feedback, and then you can create these nebulas in the galaxy, which represents like the manic phase. And then interaction is taken away in psychosis to really illustrate that loss of control and the disconnection that you have with reality. So all of these things in the beginning seemed like overwhelming. How are we going to achieve all this? But like step by step, you find content within your subject matter to bridge all of those things together.
Yeah. What is the impression that you want to leave with your audience?
Well, for me, it was really important to open a conversation regarding bipolar disorder, because I came to realize that I had, you know, two siblings. Like, my brother had been living with the disorder for 10 years, and I knew nothing about what this disorder was. And I realized when I was just, you know, pitching the project, presenting it, so many people in their, like, surroundings knew somebody who had been affected by bipolar disorder or other mental health, like, issues. But it's so hard to find the right platform to talk about them. So for me, these two projects really attempt to create a space in which we can talk about bipolar disorder, but through art and through like stimulating visuals, try to represent realities that are so hard to describe with words.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.